I'd like to start with the 13th chapter of Matthew, first verse. Same day went Jesus out of the house, sat by the seaside. And a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into his ship and sat. The whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root. They withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Wonder how many people here tonight would say, I've got it all. I've arrived. Don't have any more need to grow anymore or know anymore or go any farther. I'm there. I got all the faith I need. I got all the love I need. I'm just like Jesus. Well, now I doubt that there'd be anybody that would raise their hand to something like that. I think we probably all realize some way or another that we need more. I'll say it. I need more and want more. And I hope and pray, my desire is, and I hope it's yours, that we can have more. That we will get more. Like to be successful in my experience. I think I can be right where the Lord wants me to be for this time, but the Lord have an expectation that I be farther down the road later. I think that there is for every one of us something that we could say, I want to be a little brighter. I want to be a little bit more helpful. I want to be a better witness for the Lord. I want to shine brighter. I'd like to have more faith than I have. I'd like to love deeper than I have. I'd like to be able to have the confidence in the Lord that I ought to have to live this life with. So I'm thinking about tonight, Lord help every one of us, that we would have a desire, not an indifference about our lives, but a desire to push on to higher places. I think we all, no matter where we're at, can recognize, I'd like to be another rung up as time goes on. Now this scripture here talks about Jesus talking about a sower that went forth to sow. And I particularly want to look at the one that says, some fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. You know, you can make an argument here that the sun's a bad thing. Well, the sun scorched itself. It was fine. It was fine until the sun come up. According to this passage, it sprung up. It sprung up and grew. And it was doing fine. And it would have went on doing fine had the sun not come up. But when the sun come up, it scorched it. And so if he was going to say from maybe a logical standpoint, it was the sun's fault here. But I want us to recognize something. The sun shines on all. You can make an argument like that, but it'd be a poor one, of course. But I've raised plants and fooled with plants, and I like to transplant plants and get them from the store and do all that. And I notice that there's times that you put them in there, and I'll take them out there and I'll water them and I'll set them in. And if it's overcast and rainy and kind of like that, then I can look, and they never wither. Never wither. But when the sun comes up and dries the moisture out, until those are rooted in good, a lot of times they'll start withering away. The sun has an effect on them and a drying out effect to them that if they're not really well established, it's got a negative effect to it. And you know it's that way with our spiritual lives too. The sun is not a negative. The sun is a positive. No plant can grow without it. No plant can come to fruit without the sun. The sun is a beneficial a part of every plant's life unless there's something wrong with the rooting of the plant. And you know it's the same way in our spiritual lives. To come to fruit, it's not the sun's fault. The sun's going to shine. And you know there's a possibility that right here in this situation, there's one that's rooted in and got what it needs. It's deep. It's rooted in the good earth. And the sun comes up and the sun causes it to prosper and bring forth fruit. And another one's right here beside, the same sun shines. But to one's benefit, and to the other is detriment. To one it increases, to the other it dies. You know, we can see that play out many times in the scorching, you would say, or the heat of life and the things that come. And to the one saint sitting there that's rooted themselves in the Lord. This heat comes, and they prosper under it. And the other one sitting right in the same situation, the same tribulation, you might say, the same problem will wither away and die in that situation. It has to do with how well we've rooted in. Lord, help us tonight that we would seek to root in, that we would establish our lives on the Word of God, that we would establish our lives on the Lord, that it wouldn't be shaken by anything that happens to come by our way, but that it would be a benefit to us. And I believe that the Lord would not allow anything into our lives that's not beneficial to us. No matter what it looks like with the eye, the Lord is bringing beneficial things into our life. The sun is beneficial to plants, even though it kills these ones. And these same tribulations and problems and the difficulties of life, and you may say the hot scorching times, the dry times that comes into our lives, are not designed to destroy us. It's designed to make us better. That's the Lord's design on us. Our hearts ought to be to the place tonight is, Lord, help me to be ready for those times. Help me to clear out the stones that's in life, the things that keeps my roots from going deep. Help me to not be hindered by those kind of things. This ground, which talking about the heart of people, isn't it? Isn't it talking? This is talking about the stony places of a man's heart. Lord, help me to get those places out of there, because it will keep me from having a good root. It'll keep me from having a good place in my heart that I'll be able to stand these kind of times. I want to be better. I want to be more like Christ. I want to be able to shine more. But if I'm not careful, the things that the Lord has designed to make me, polish me up, is going to be the very things that wither me away. Yes. And if we don't move out of the things in our heart, the stony things in our heart, the things that keep us from getting deeper in the Lord and being more devoted to the Lord and stronger in the Lord, if we don't remove those things out of our life and we're not careful, what's going to happen is that the very thing that is designed to make us strong saints is going to kill us. It's going to cause us to wither and back up in that tribulation. You know that tribulation worketh patience. And we all say, well, I'd like to have more patience. Well, if it was a show of hands here, I'd have to raise my hand and said, I like to have some of that there patient stuff. But usually when we say that, we want a flash of lightning and a sound of thunder and an immediate work in my heart. Now I'm just as patient as I can be. But guess what? That's not the way it works. The Lord will work on us in our patience by sending tribulations and things in our lives that we'll have to endure and go through. And if we allow it to happen, if we've got the right place, it will cause us to be a patient people. But if not, the very thing that the Lord sends and allows our way will be a destructive scorching element to our life. It'll cause us to wither away on the vine. Lord, help us that we would be able to increase. The old devil came before, with the sons of man came before the Lord one day. And old Satan came too. And the Lord says to Satan, "Where have you been? What you been doing?" "Well, I've been in the earth walking to and fro, up and down in the earth. Looking here, looking there. I've been considering things." "Well, in all you're considering," the Lord says, "have you considered my servant Job? He's an upright man. He hates evil, loves good. Have you considered him?" "Yep, I've considered him. And you got a hedge around him. I can't touch him. You do this and you do that and you make a hedge around him and there's nothing I can do. But I'll tell you this, if you was to touch him, he'd curse you to your face." This is kind of, aren't you? Read it over there in the first chapter of Job. What a thing for the Lord to say about somebody. "Have you considered my servant?" I've wondered about that before. Have you ever wondered? What would the Lord say about you? "Have you considered my servant?" Then I wonder what the devil would say back in a conversation that they'd have about me. This was a conversation they had about Job. And you know the story. It's a very familiar story about Job. The Lord ends up saying, "Not so, but have at it. I'll give you permission then. You go try old Job." And Job was tried. And very severe trial. The first one was he took his things, he took his children, the things come out of him. But God, old Job didn't charge God foolishly. He kept his integrity. And he said, "Dust I am, dust I shall return." Didn't bring nothing to the world, won't take nothing out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He kept his integrity in it. Back comes old Satan again. And the devil says, upright man, fears me, loves good. "Yeah, but you didn't touch his body. You touch his body, and he'll curse you to your face." That gets down where it's at, don't it? You know, we can go through a lot of things until pain starts happening and that kind of stuff starts happening. And then, boy, it gets serious then. Well, the Lord said, the old Satan said, "You go ahead and you can't have his life, but you can do your will." And then, old Job sitting, you remember, he's got boils from the tail. You ever have boils? Anybody here ever had boils? When I was a little feller, they used to say it was a deficiency. I don't know what it was. But I know when I was a little feller, I got boils on me all the time. I'd get them on my knees and these big old boils and stuff, and they'd hurt and inflame and all that kind of stuff. But my mom heard somewhere along the line that you should have more iron. And raisins was supposed to have more iron, she said, and so she would buy bunches of raisins. Well, I just loved raisins. Well, all of us at the house there really loved raisins. The other children did too, but they didn't have boils. And I did. So I got to eat all these raisins. And I wasn't like Job from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. So it wasn't that bad. And it was almost a good write-off for me to have a few boils just to get to eat the raisins all the time. So I had my plus in all that. But Job was covered from the top of his head. And it was a suffering that he had to go through. And it wasn't just a day or two that Job went through this. And guess what? He wasn't getting no raisins and he wasn't getting no comfort either. And all this was happening to Job in that. And you know what? A man can wither under that kind of thing. A man can get in under that kind of a thing. That's a tough place to be in. All of that, you lose everything you got. People are talking bad. The ones that used to say, "He's a righteous man and he's a good man and God's blessing him for all that." Now everything falls under and they're saying he's a sinner. They think bad of him now. Not only did the devil wreak havoc in his things and in his health, he wreaked havoc in what people thought about him and his integrities and all that. And people coming, you ever have people come against you? It don't feel good. It's not the way we like things. But Job had all that come upon him because of this thing that he had. Only thing he was doing was living right and doing these. But I want to tell you, a lesser man could have scorched under that kind of a thing. It could have made him wither away, and he could have said, "The Lord isn't what he's supposed to be in all this." But Job never went there. Lord, help us to have root in ourselves. I'm going to tell you, if your desire tonight is to be what the Lord would have you to be, you're going to have some root. Because the Lord knows how to shine us up. He knows how to polish. and make us that shiny example that He'd have of us. That's what I want to be. But I got to admit, I don't know how to do it myself. I like the lightning bolt thing. I like the divine work in me when I'm in bed, asleep. I want to wake up tomorrow with that without having to do anything to get it. But that's not the way it works. The way it works is God sharpens us with these kind of things and helps us with these kind of things. And through the events of life and what we go through in life, it builds character, it builds trust, it builds confidence, it builds an integrity in our lives. It builds something about us that we can't do for ourselves. Listen to what Job says in the last chapter of Job. Oh, let me see. Job. Oh, let me see where I want to get it. I'll just start with the first verse. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. Well, I don't know how much he believed that before, but he believes it now. Wasn't it said of Job that he come forth as pure gold? Job was a righteous man. Job had an integrity with God above any other. But when it come down to it, you know there was another rung up on the ladder for Job. You know there was still a place that Job could shine brighter. You think of Job and the first of this and have God testify of you and of your character, but yet to say, I can still go higher. There's still someplace else I can go. And Job was willing, and God used the devil's intent to destroy him, to shine him and perfect him. You know, that's what God will do with every intent of the devil. We had last night about a total war. The devil wants to wage a total war. But God knows how to take every intention of the devil for your life and shine you with that purpose. No matter what he allows into your life, it will be a polishing and a shining and will make you better if you will remove the obstacles out of your life, get in touch with God, let your roots go deep and be trusted in God, and God will work that out. We can be that in this time that we live in. Job says, I believe God. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. You know, God's got so much more for us. I believe that. Job now comes through all of this and he's willing to say, there's things that was too wonderful. This has been a great experience for me. A great experience. You know, when I was, I'd been saved about a year. And I always heard of this idea of trusting the Lord with your physical body. Well, I said that. I'll just trust the Lord. But really, you don't know anything about that if you never feel bad. Yeah. Oh, I can say anything. But if I don't ever feel bad, it's just, that's all it is. And you know, I got sick. And I remember thinking how others was testifying and how I heard these testimonies. And I'd hear those and I'd say, I want to trust the Lord. I want that experience. I want God to help me. And I got sick and I was fevering, and my family knows this. If I start getting fevered, I start having things going on in my mind. It don't take much fever for me to start. I start misfiring and I start talking sillinesses and things, that just saying stuff and all this. Well, I got really sick. And I was fevered, and I was doing that and all these things. But you know, I got this. I was saying all the time, I want to trust God. I want to trust God. And you know, I remember to this day this blessing that fell on me from the Lord. I felt awful in the body, but I felt so good in my soul. And there was such a disconnect between the two. And the spiritual side was so overwhelming of this peace and thankfulness and this gratitude and this trust in God that I can honestly say I felt good feeling bad. Now, I don't know how to explain it any more than the fact that God overshadows it all. Jesus is so dynamic that everything is pale in comparison in His presence. And I had the presence of God on me till the very sickness that I had was such a blessing to me that I would go back there any day that I could. If the Lord would allow me, I'd just say, take me back there. Because it was so wonderful. And it makes me to have just a little insight into something that was too wonderful for me. Do you know what I'm saying? I had an understanding now that something that's too wonderful for me, that the Lord let me see. I've heard the testimonies of the martyrs. You ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? And there would be those people in there that were so given their hearts to the Lord that they was willing to step up and be crucified, be burnt, be ripped to pieces, whatever it was, and have victory right there in it, almost like they couldn't feel the pain. I'm going to tell you, I believe they felt the pain, but Jesus was overshadowing it all with the greatness of His presence. That's what I believe. There was a story of the one, you remember him shaking, they said, wave your hand or something if you got the victory. When he was a-burning and nothing down but the stub, and he's still waving the stub. I heard something like that. I can believe that because that's something that's so wonderful. It's too high for me. It's too wonderful. But yet the Lord allowed me to taste that one day. You know, the Lord wants to turn every bad purpose into something that's so wonderful. And He can do it. He can make it shine. Job went through all of these things, and you say, boy, that was something. I don't know if I want to live right or not. He was living right and did this. Do you know this was God's mercy and love to Job? The Lord looked at us and this isn't sad, but this is a given in this story. God knows everything. And God knew that what the devil was going to try. And God knew that if Job stayed true, that Job was going to come out of this not a poorer man. He was going to come out a richer man. He wasn't going to come out duller in his experience. He wasn't going to come out less faith. He was going to come out with more faith. He was going to come out as a shining light more than he had ever had before. There's no limit. The very thing that was meant to destroy him was the very thing that made him better. So he says here, it was too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now, mine eye seeth thee. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. I've heard the testimonies of the saints of days gone by. Sister Marcia just testified about Brother Souter. I never knew the man. Many of you here did. You knew him. You knew what he was. All those things. I didn't know him, but I heard about him. I've heard the testimony of the saints and knew some of the older ones. I knew Brother Austin. He was still around when I was here, Austin Wilson, but not for many years, but I heard about Brother Pruitt. I heard about some of them. Knew Brother Sammons. I knew about them. I heard from the hearing of the ear how God blessed them. How God worked with them. How God delivered them. How God answered their prayers. I've heard about the healings, the blessings. I've heard about the sanctification received. I've heard about the meetings where people come for salvation in the bunches. I've heard about those kind of things. I've heard how the Lord blessed Brother Sammons and anointed his prayers. Seen it firsthand and all those kind of things. But what about me? I've heard with the hearing of the ear. What about this generation? Young people, what about you? You go read the old books, and I encourage you to do it. It's an encouraging what God's done in the past. And you know what God's done in the past? God will do again. God isn't a respecter of persons. God ain't going to do it for Paul and Peter and John and not do it for us. God's going to do it for all of us to fit the condition. But what about the generation now? Are you going to be content to say, I heard about you by the hearing of the ear. Is it enough to hear about it by the hearing of the ear? I heard about people that trusted the Lord and got healed. I've heard about people that the Lord blessed with powerful anointings. I've heard about those things. It's not enough for the next generation come on to say, I heard about it. Job said, I heard about you by the hearing of the ear. But now, my eye has seen you. I have an experience of God in this. God blessed Job, and he wanted to bless him more. God loved Job, and he wanted to bring something special to him. Is that all right? We'll look at that and say, I don't know if I want to go through that to get that. There's a balance with this. But you know, that's not what God looks at it. I mentioned the other day when Jesus looked at that rich young ruler, the scripture says when he got right down to telling him, he said, and he loved him. And he loves us when he takes us to the next level. When he allows that to come, it's the love of God to bring us to better places. I've heard about the Lord. I've heard about the testimonies. But I'm going to tell you, I've got to see it myself. It wasn't enough for me to just hear about it. I want my experience. I want the Lord to help me. And I'm not supposing at this point in my life that I've arrived. Because I want more of the Lord. I'll be honest with you. I see it as a fine line sometimes. And I don't want to make it out like we're just ready to be destroyed. I think God's bigger than that. But I want to tell you, in my flesh, I see it as such a fine line sometimes that I could be that old hateful, cantankerous, difficult man that my grandpa was. And I don't want to be that. I want the Lord to help me that I can be more like Christ. I want the Lord to help me that I won't be difficult. One of these days, possibly, maybe, you know, I married a younger wife. My wife's 15 years younger than me. And if nature takes its natural course, there may be come a time that she may have to take care of me. And if she does, I'm starting now with her. She'll tell you. I'll say, honey, you know, Lord help me here, but I'll say sometimes, I'll see some old guy driving down the road. I'll say, honey, I'm going to give you permission to say, close your mouth. Honey, keep your mouth shut. I'll help you close. And you know, you see some old men that ain't groomed real well, I'll say, honey, go ahead and do that. I want integrity. I want what the Lord, but more than that, and say, honey, I don't want to be a difficult case. Understand what I'm saying? I don't want to be cantankerous. I don't want to be a difficult case. I don't want my children to look at the end of my life and say, he sure is a cantankerous old fella. You can't get him to do anything. He won't give. He's not pliable. I know. Lord, help me, beginning now if it takes it, Lord, help shine me up, polish me up, help me to be that one that can be easily pliable, workable, somebody that's still got integrity. You know, there's some out there. I know it embarrassed him. I'm going to tell it anyway, but I told him personally just not long ago. I told Brother Purvis. I said, Brother Purvis, I'm going to tell you, I appreciate you. And he said, what, me? And I said, yes, you. And you know why? Because you are one with integrity. Yeah. I said, you're an older man, and you make sure that there's not food all down your shirt. And he said, Brother, I spill it all the time. I said, I know you do, and that's why I appreciate you. You've been a man that's kept your integrity. You got Parkinson's and you shake and all that, and yet you are still concerned about presenting an image of God. Somebody that cares. I went by the field of the slothful, and they were you could tell they were slothful, but not him. Because he presents integrity. You know what I'm saying? And I've looked at that and said to my wife, that's what I want the Lord to help me to be. Somebody that's got something inside too, though. Not just the out, but the inside. I want to be able to bless somebody with my words. You know what I'm saying? Even when I'm old and not much to say, but I can still use the wisdom of the years that the Lord worked with me and helped me and gave me this place to where I can see to my children, I saw the Lord. Let me tell you where I see the Lord. Let me tell you where I can help you in life here. Not just demanding, everybody owes me, so everybody get around and do what I want, because everybody owes me. I don't want to be that way. I've heard of Him. I've heard of the Lord with the hearing of the ear. But now, Job says, my eyes beheld Him. And the script, you can go on and read this, but this goes on and says that the latter day, latter end of Job was better than the beginning. The Lord restored all of those things that he had lost at the hand of the enemy, that had taken from him. See, those things that God gave back, the material things, God owns all. God owns this earth. It's His footstool. He can give it as much of it or as little of it as He wants to. That's no big thing with the Lord. But the Lord wanted to do something in the heart of a man where he won't just go in and push his will, but he's got to have that will yielded to him. And Job yielded that will to him, and he found out that there, you know, there was things in Job when you get down to it, wasn't there? When you really search this out, you found out that all of a sudden Job had this thing in him, and he started saying this about this and this until the Lord had to come and say, okay, Job, had enough of that. Now I'm going to ask you, where was you at when I set this thing in motion? Hey, when I put them whales in the sea, Job, where was you at when I done that? And where was you at? And Job had to end up just melting back and saying, Lord, I just repent. You did all that. It wasn't me. In our haste and in our things, sometimes we did. But Lord, help us. You know, there's another rung up on the ladder for you. It isn't a put down. There's another rung up for every one of us. Lord, help us to be able to receive that. There was in the Scripture, I'll just mention a few. Job was one of them, I believe, that was bettered and began and shine and shone out because of the things that happened to him. Actually, if it wasn't for the stories of the bad things that happened to these men, they wouldn't be half the men that we think they are. You know, Joseph was a young man that was put through quite a... The story of Job didn't happen in a week. And then it was over and he was in a good place. It was years. What happened to Joseph was a years in the making. And he kept his integrity through that. And when we look at the life of Joseph, we'll say it was incredible. And what an example. We use it. We use it for that which was designed for bad, that God turned out to be good. Not only for Joseph himself, but Joseph's faithfulness saved the ones that was intended to do him bad. The Lord wants us to shine that way. Joseph was a light. Is a light to our experience because he went through with integrity and he suffered. If you want to start nailing it down what all he suffered, you think about it. How many people do you think would have believed Joseph's story? Here's a young man and he was reported, history reports Joseph as being an exceptionally intelligent and good-looking young man. How many people you think would have believed his story versus the woman's story? I mean, how many you really think? Now, we know what happened. But they didn't know what happened. And when she said he done that, I imagine that's what everybody said. And if he said, I'm not that, well, I didn't do it. Sure, you're not, young fella. Well, you're going to jail. What? That hurts. That hurts for somebody that cares about right things and want to represent the good things and the right things. And Joseph was what kept his integrity before the Lord and didn't do any of that. But he was thought to be evil. You know, Jesus was thought to be evil. They actually called him Prince of the Devil. He was Beelzebub, they called him, and all those things. You know, it happens to us too. People can look at us and all we're trying to do is good. And they'll look at us as we're some kind of weirdos. And if they only knew, if they only really knew what's really in here. But they don't. But Joseph was one of those that went through that and succeeded in shining his light. And I want to tell you, I believe that at the end of it, he was better. He was made better at the end of it. There was a man named Daniel, of whom the scriptures are almost nothing negative about Daniel. Daniel carried himself in such a way that you couldn't find an occasion against him or a fault. He was that straight before the Lord, and he stayed that way. Seemed like all of his life he handled it very like that. But there come a time that they threw him in the lion's den anyway. They made him out to be evil and somebody that was a lawbreaker and somebody that couldn't be trusted, and they threw him into the lion's den. But you know that experience brightens his image? Because he was willing. You know, it's easy. It's easy to say things of what you'll do. But it's another thing when the test comes. Oh, sure, you'll keep praying. Well, if they come up with a decree, I'll just keep, I'll throw my window open and pray anyway. Sure, you will when there's no decree. But Daniel was made better because the decree came. And because he did throw his window open. And now he knew, he proved it to him, God, and everybody else, that God was superior to all these other things. And he kept his integrity and he prayed. Just like he did aforetime. And it didn't change him. But the devil meant to destroy him. And God lifted him up to a higher height than he had ever been before. God wants to make us shine too. There was people in the scriptures that didn't do it that way. There was also the failures in the scriptures too. There was one man named Saul. Saul had the same privilege of being made to shine. The things that happened to him in his life would have made him shine. He just didn't have no root. He didn't have the same root in his life. And when these things started coming, old Saul started scorching. When the prophet didn't come in time and he started doing things he shouldn't do, he started scorching. And then when he was told to go down there and do something else, he let the people, he started scorching. He started letting pride get in his heart. And he was the king and he was going to do it his way. And the things that started coming would have made him a great king. Do you know something about old Saul? He got envious at David. Remember that? It's one of the ironies of the scriptures. Saul got jealous at David when they came back from war. Because the women, they said some women, they come out a dancing and a singing, and they sung it this way: Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul said, look, they're elevating David above me. And he got jealous and marked him from that time. Got so wore out with that thing that he ended up, the evil spirit came on him, and he was so driven by it that he tried to pin David to the wall with a javelin. Tried to kill him on a number of occasions. Later after that, his men pursued David around and around and all over and was jealous of him. And the irony of the whole thing is that Saul was killed by the enemy of Israel. And who had God put there to fight his enemies? David. Do you know that Saul should have rejoiced? Who wouldn't want a man as faithful as David was? David loved Saul. David loved his king. David would have gave his life for it. Who wouldn't want a man like that except for a jealous one? And the irony is that the very one that was put there to keep peace in there and keep the enemy driven back was David. When he didn't have David, he had an enemy, and he got killed by the enemy that David had the ability to drive off. Lord, help us. When we don't have root in ourselves, when we don't have enough root, the old devil can take, and we start to scorch with the very thing that was intended to be a blessing. Can you imagine? What would you think if the ministers of the church was jealous of one another? I want to tell you, I've heard about it. I don't know it. Thank the Lord, I don't know it. I know how I am about it. I say, get them, brother. Seek them. Get them. Preach it hard. Preach it. I say amen to it. The better it is, the better I like it. This ain't about me. It's about the Lord. I'm for the brethren. Could you imagine, though, the jealousy that would come in between us and say, boy, I don't know. I don't like him. He preaches too good. Could you imagine something like that? Oh, yeah, there was that brother preached the other night, Brother Marty, and the orders was filled. I don't want to hear about it. Don't want to hear about it. If it ain't my preaching to do it, you know how bad that would be? But you know, honestly, that's where you can get till the very thing that's designed to be the blessing becomes the curse. God anoints a message, and I go to my house and have a bad night all night because God anointed some brother's message. Lord have mercy. Have you ever fought jealousies? Oh, they called him a green-eyed monster. I know why they call him that. Oh, it's an awful thing. But that's where Saul was at. He didn't have the root. And folks, listen, God wants us. He wants that seed to grow in that heart that's been root. Those things that keeps the root from going deep. I can't say what they are in your life. I don't know what they are. But there can be things that keeps that from rooting, really rooting in there. It's about the Lord. It isn't about us. There's another scripture I want to look at. There was another one that didn't do so well. It's over in 1 Kings, 11th chapter. First verse starts it out this way. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Second verse says, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was his heart, the heart of David his father. Now I think there was a little bit harder words here maybe. The Lord, 9th verse, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which appeared unto him twice. Here was another situation where a man got to the end of his life. What do you want the end of your life to be, folks? You want it to be like Solomon's? That's something? I'm sure in his youth that Solomon just said, yeah, I know that's the commandment, but I'm awfully smart. I'm the wisest man ever. I understand these things and I understand the nature of things. I understand what they could do and can't do, and they can't do it to me because I'm too smart. I don't know that that's the truth at all, but something got Solomon. And he done something that the Lord told him not to do. And I think Solomon knew that the Lord told him not to do it. And his heart wasn't perfect towards the Lord. And the end of his Lord, end of his days, at the end of his days, Lord help us. I don't know what will befall us. I don't know what the end of the days is. But as we have the end of our days, what do you want the end of your days to be? You want to be said as Job, that he died, he lived a hundred and some more years, and he was full of days. I mean, he ended up, what a life of Job. And the end of the testimony was that he was better than ever. And my eyes had seen the Lord. You want that? That'd be a great testimony. But how about saying that the Lord said his heart's not perfect? And the Lord was angry at him because he had went away from the Lord his God. He got old. Folks, listen, he got old. He dropped the ball. He got old and didn't have the root in there. The sun come up and it scorched him. The sun come up and made Job brighter. The sun came up and made Joseph brighter. The sun come up and made Daniel brighter. The sun come up and scorched Saul. It scorched Solomon. Is it going to scorch us? It scorched them. And they withered under it. I don't know. Solomon had many, many things that he had to do. Some say that Solomon was a judicial man. And most of this was about, what it was about was, it was about being a good ambassador and being able to deal with the nations around him. And it was a common thing for a king of another nation to want to please Solomon and come in and give him a couple daughters for wives. And he would take those and all those things as a good wisdom for all these. But he had little understanding that in his old age, these wives that he loved would turn his heart. And they come to him and said, "We're not a part of your belief system. Well, we're not a part of that, and we came from here, and we want to worship our gods, and they're so much different than yours, and we need a temple." And Solomon built. What a horrible thing. The sun came up and scorched old Solomon. He built temples of other gods. Imagine a king doing that. But he did. He actually committed broke one of the first commandments. He had other gods, and he related to that. And it scorched him. The very thing that was brought to me. I'm going to tell you what a testimony it could have been, and what a blessing it could have been to mankind all the way down, to have a writing in the scriptures of a man named Solomon that could have took 1,000 wives and yet rejected them all because of what the Lord said. Wouldn't you love to read it? Here was one that the kings would come and present these beautiful women as wives, and he would say, "Not before my Lord, I won't. I'll never fall for that." You know, there was another man that had big muscles, and he was strong. I don't know if he had big muscles. The Bible didn't really say Samson had big muscles, but he sure moved some things like he had. But the sun came up and scorched him. He didn't have, but you know why? He trivialized the blessing that God had given him in his life, and he didn't come out shining. Now the end of him was redemption, because the end of his life, folks, and if you're there, the end of Samson's life, in one moment of faith, he got to be listed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, because he returned, and the end of it was a repentance and a faith in God, and he was mentioned as one of those of faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Lord, help you and I. I want to end in one more scripture. Oh, let me see. I think it's 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, 2nd chapter. 14th verse says, "Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Yes, thanks God. "And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" The very thing that God brought to save us will be our curse at the end. You know, it's going to be an awful thing. I think there's a scripture, is there not, that says something about about this stone. If we fall on that stone, I think it says we'll be broken. But if the stone, the same stone, if it falls on us, it will be ground to powder. The difference of the same action, the falling of this stone's significance. If we fall on it, we're blessed. If it falls on us, we're in a shape. The same action. The Lord wants us to shine, and I pray that the Lord would help us and that every one of us would have a desire. Lord, what can I be in this life? What do you have for me? Help us, Lord, as the time goes on, that we not be worse. I'm challenged at times. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes, and don't want to sound like it's a fault thing, but I can't help from wondering when I see somebody that says, "I've been living for the Lord for 50 years, or 60 years, or 40 years, or 30 years, whatever. A long time." And they don't have no victory. And they're not sweeter. I expect something of that after a while. There ought to be something in those years that's meant something, that's done something. Lord, help us to be faithful to the Lord and allow the Lord to take the time that we have to polish us up, make us good saints. You pray for me.